Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Erechin Tesvav, Erechin 15a, pagination is 29. We have been discussing on the previous page the standardized amounts of Ones, Mefata, and Motzi Shemra, and the Mishnah observed that Ones and Mefata, the case of assault or seduction, is only 50, and Motzi Shemra, speaking badly, is 100. And the Mishnah therefore concluded that speaking can at times be considered far more severe, and that's the concept of Lashon Hara. Counting up from the wide lines, two lines, we have a statement, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Parta. Come and see the severity of Lashon Hara, of speaking badly. Minolan, mimiraglim. Let's analyze the story of the Miraglim Parsha Shlach, the spies who spoke badly about Eretz Yisrael. They said it's a bad country. Eretz Ocheles Yoshevehohi. It consumes its population. A lot of funerals we witnessed. If such punishment and destruction can occur for someone who spoke badly about inanimate objects, wood and stone, land, space, if a person were to speak badly against his fellow, certainly it's most severe. Now, the Gemara challenges this, and in the challenge, we can learn a lot. Mimai, how do you know that the great punishment of the Miraglim was because they spoke badly against the land? They did speak badly against the land, but how do you know that that was what clinched the severity? Dilma Mishum de Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. We have another tradition regarding the Miraglim. The Omar Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Davar Godol Dibru Miraglim Beosa Sha'a. They spoke something very severe, Dichsiv. Ki Chazak Hu Mimenu. They're greater than him. Altikri Ki Chazak Hu Mimenu, Alu Mimenu Kavayachal. It's talking about Hashem, so to speak. Balabayis and Yachal Hotzi Kelev Misham. They were saying that Hashem would not be able to remove them from the land, would not enable the Jewish people to conquer the land, and that's what they were saying. Now, we do need to pause for a moment. How could the Miraglim, who are very great people, be saying that Hashem is not able? And the standard approach in the Mefarshim is that they understood that Hashem could make miracles, but they were viewing this in the realm of Teva, in the realm of nature. It's impossible for this to happen. And what was introduced at that time was the concept of Teva Nisis, nature being controlled by Hashem in a miraculous way, that you go to battle, but miraculously you're victorious, even though the numbers and the strategy aren't there. However, we understand the Miraglim, but this was a statement that they made, and therefore we could attribute the terrible destruction of the Miraglim to the fact that they were speaking Lashon Hara against Hashem, not against Eitzim Va'avonim, the land. Elo Amar Rabba, Amar Reish Lakish, Amar Kra, Vayomusu Hu Anosha Motziei Dibes Ha'oretz Ra'a. When the Torah describes their death, it describes its attribution to the fact that they spoke badly against the land. Al dibes ha'aretz shahotziu. So even though we could attribute it however we wanted, if it was up to us, but the Torah tells us how to understand the story. The Gemara continues, and this is one of the most fascinating Gemaras regarding Kriyas Yamsuf. Tanya, the Jewish people challenged Hashem, doubted Hashem 10 times. One of them is Ba'aliyah. You could see it in the Gemara about 12 lines up. Ba'aliyah, when they came out of the water after Kriyas Yamsuf, they walked through in dry land, they challenged Hashem, Kidir Avhuna. The Jews of that generation were small of faith. Because we're taught. What does it mean when it says, there was a rebellion by the Yamsuf, there was a rebellion against Hashem, as the Jews said, just as we were redeemed through Kriyas Yamsuf, so maybe the Egyptians also were redeemed from Kriyas Yamsuf, and they will yet catch up with us. And they did not consider Kriyas Yamsuf to be definitive. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until Hashem said, Lesar Shal Yam, to the minister of the sea, Peloto Sam Layabosha, spit the dead Egyptians from the depths of the water out onto dry land, so that they should see that the redemption is complete. And that's the pasuk, the Jews saw the Egyptians dead at the seashore. So on this rebellion, they doubted Hashem. Tosfos Kishem, outer commentary towards the bottom of the page, writes, Yesh litmoa, I'm in wonderment. Eicho yisur ba'oso hador kol kach miktane amona. How could it be that the Jews of that generation were of such small-minded, small faith, shesavru, that they thought, shekach yas HaKadosh Baruch Hu nisim leMitzrayim, that Hashem would make a miracle for the Egyptians and redeem them through their own Kriyas Yamsuf, la'avira me'artzom le'eretz Yisrael, to take them from the land of Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, there's a miracle going on here? How could they be? How could they doubt in such a conspiracy type theory that Hashem would make a miracle for the Egyptians? V'omar Rabbeinu, and our teacher taught b'shem Aviv Rabbi Shmuel, she'Yisrael lo over ayom l'rochvo, the Jewish people did not experience Kriyas Yamsuf to the width, which would put them on the other side in a way that no one could reach them, but rather, Ritsua Achas Ovru Bayom, the sea meanders, and they crossed at a specific spot. It's a shortcut, La'orech Hayom, to the length of the sea, but they were on the same side of the sea. And therefore, they thought that even though they were saved through Kriyas Yamsuf, but they didn't think it was definitive. They thought that the Egyptians will yet catch up with them. They might not take the shortcut through the sea, but they're still going to catch up with them. And therefore, beyond the next hill, the next sand dune, it could be the Egyptian army is there, and Hashem had to show them that the redemption was complete. It's a beautiful answer, but it raises a provocative challenge. If indeed they crossed to the length and not to the width, and they were still on the same side as the Egyptians were, why indeed are they considered Ketane Amona, so small of faith? Sounds like a reasonable concern. And the answer, I believe, is that when Hashem makes a miracle for you, even if you don't feel that you understand exactly how Hashem is going to continue providing for you, but a person has to reach a level of emuna, of trust, that clearly Hashem is interested in saving you, is interested in your success, has a mission and a vision for you, and therefore the conclusion has to be, Hashem will continue to provide for me. And even though they might not know whether the Egyptians were decimated or not, that's really irrelevant for a person who reaches Emunah. Hashem showed his love, demonstrated salvation, and certainly would continue to do so regardless of what the situation in its absolute accuracy might be. Maybe the Egyptians are alive, maybe they're dead, I don't know, but you're okay. And they, according to the Gemara, should have mustered the strength to be able to say Shira, thank Hashem, even before they were able to actually see the Egyptians dead. We have this as a bracha. Sha'asa nisim la'avoseinu, Hashem made miracles for our ancestors, bayamim ohem, in those days, uvizman hazeh, and in our time as well. Once we put ourselves in touch with miracles, we're able to appreciate that Hashem continues to provide in every generation. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.